Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's show for July the 2nd, 2020. We're going to go back to Wednesday, July 4th, the 4th of July of 2018. Why are we doing that? Usually, as you know, we like to land on the exact same date that we are experiencing in the here and the now. However, you may recall two summers ago, our TriCaster was gradually giving out. I had no experience with TriCasters. I didn't know what was going on. We thought we had a bad connection to our server, or who had like Ustream. We thought they were screwing us up. No, the TriCaster was giving out. So on the show that we had prepared, it would get like that shit. So I know, you know, a lot of you guys like it weird. I mean, sometimes you like it too weird. Sometimes you like it so weird, I've got to dive into my car and just hit the gas with my hand and not even see where I'm going and just... But in this instance, I have to save you. So we're going to go with a show from Wednesday, July 4th, 2018. Mouth Siren Cop makes an appearance, as does the great veteran of musical theater, close friend of Margaret, and retirement home superstar, John Jerryman. But the big moment is when Phil, a few minutes into the show, knocks a cup of coffee over onto his desk and immediately busts the fourth wall. Holy shit, I'm not so sure I'm going to want to see this. Well, let's listen to it. Let's watch it. I don't know what the hell we're going to do with it. Here it is, folks. This is from July 4 of 2018. July 4, not our usual encore show, but nonetheless, I'm sure one that you will enjoy immensely.
And from the El Pacifico here in Southern California, you're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I am General Galen Shaw, guest hosting here on the 4th of July, 2018.
Yeah!
Thank you, Bud. Bud Dickman is here. And Margaret, I see that you've decided to...
Well, I never really said I was not going to be here.
I thought you were thinking about it.
I thought if Frank didn't golf today, I wouldn't be here. But Frank's out golfing.
And we're going to talk to Frank, aren't we?
I hope so, yes. I think Frank is going to join us. I know that Robert is... Who isn't here?
Robert's not here. He's the only one that isn't.
Robert's got—he's got a busy day, doesn't he?
Well, Bud, do you know about it?
Yeah, he's got the—he's got—he his family owns like seven or eight gas stations, you know.
So he's going to be managing all of these.
He's going between gas stations.
Yeah, that's what he says, you know. But yeah, no, maybe he's going to be faking it.
No, I doubt that. But if he's got seven businesses he's got to look at, why isn't he doing that every day?
I think his deal with Phil is that this is the first job, and the gas stations can go straight to hell.
No, it isn't. No,
I doubt that.
Well, I don't know, but you can call Phil if you want.
Are we... Is that, oh, fuck! I fucking dumped coffee all over this motherfucker. Wait a minute. Oh, you fucking whore. Wait a minute. I knew that would happen one of these days, you motherfucker. I knew that would happen one of these fucking days. Oh, fuck me. I think I'll keep this in the show. Well, I'm going to keep this in the show. I'm going to keep in all of this horrific spilt coffee. Oh, my God. God damn it. Nothing in this goddamn world. And you know, this is a true story. When I got into this business, the first thing they would say to you is, keep the fucking drinks and the food out of the studio, you know. And you'd always wonder, what are they saying that just to be a pain in the ass? Because I'm careful with my drinks and everything. And God damn it, why can't I bring a Coke in? I used to say that all the fucking time. Everybody that I knew, we'd say that all the time. And I was an engineer for a brief... I was an audio engineer for a brief time at Westwood One. And we had a guy named Michael Jordan, whose son is Dax Jordan, who is a great young up-and-coming stand-up comic. And Dax was the MC, sort of MC audio sound light guy at... the Hollywood Improv for a long time. I digress. His dad was a ball buster of that shit. So he'd say, you know, keep that shit out of the studio. And I actually one day spilt coffee down a graphic equalizer. Now, I have to say in my defense, the graphic equalizer was built into the desk. Meaning, you know, it wasn't up on a rack. It was built flat into the desk. So if you anything got spilt, even water... So, sure enough, I spilled coffee on this thing, which made the operations manager, a guy whose name I will not mention because he was a fucking prick, literally sat there calling me an asshole as he was cleaning this up. What an asshole. This kind of shit, right? I won't even comment. But anyway, that didn't even cure me of the problem. No, it's taking owning equipment myself, that's what it's taken. Look at that fucking thing. What a bitch. I think I'm all out of fucking mouse pads, too. That's a bitch. God damn it. Well, what you've just heard, folks, is a live in-studio. I just dumped coffee all over my goddamn desk here. The good news is none of the equipment got compromised. The bad news is none of the equipment got compromised, so I haven't learned my lesson. I'll probably still continue to bring coffee in here. And one of the things is, those of you that have never seen me work, I move around a lot. It's a very physical gig that I do. And you can ask my BSPs, they'll tell you. All right, so... Look at this shit. God damn it. Beautiful thing, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, returning to the program now, folks. Sorry. So Henry dumps coffee.
Anyway, the question was, do you want me... I guess we don't have to call Phil now.
You want us to call you, Miss Henry?
No.
All right, so...
Anyway, welcome to the program, this 4th of July pro... What a way to kick that off, huh? Phil's in here doing our voices... And
well, don't be, start to give us the inside baseball.
You're serious, right?
What do you mean, Ms. Gray's already been... God, man.
Look, bud, don't piss me off, all right?
The kid makes a good point. I do, too.
Well, what point is that?
Well, we weren't allowed to make the point because you were threatening us. But the fact is...
I'm just saying, don't give them the inside baseball.
But the fact is, he just did.
Yeah. What do you call him coming in and clean up a coffee and everything?
But he got him clean it.
You know what, Margaret? You know, be a gracious loser, okay?
What if I lost exactly?
Well, now, there's one for discussion.
Is that right?
Well, wait a minute. Don't. Phil told me to keep all the fights to a minimum. We've already got coffee poured all over everything. If we start breaking up the equipment, God knows what will happen before the day is out. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. General Galen Shaw...
Shaw is your last name?
Yeah, I know. General Galen Shaw here... Now, there's a couple of things we had planned. One of them is John Jerryman is going to sing. Is that right, Margaret?
Yes, John is going to be singing. We also have Mouth Siren Cop, but John will be singing from the Blue Hills Retirement there in the Philadelphia area. They're having a 4th of July party, so I thought we'd mic him in.
Yes, and we do have Mouth Siren Cop as well. The great Lloyd Bonafide returns, and he'll be out there on the highways and byways patrolling. In the areas in and around Southern California. Now, he is primarily a guy who works in the city of Alhambra, and that's because they gave you a license there, huh, Lloyd?
Yeah, they gave me a license to ticket anyone that I think looks like an asshole.
Now, Lloyd, this is Margaret. How do you determine who looks like an asshole?
How do I determine who looks like an asshole? That's a really great question. I can't really tell you, other than to say that a lot of times... If they just bug me, if somebody's, for instance, Margaret, and I mean no offense, but when you came on and go, how do you know, when you do that?
Oh, you're going to tell me, Miss Gray?
So in other words, you thought you'd give me a ticket, huh?
Well, I can assure you, if I decided to give you a ticket, it's not I would give you a ticket.
You think so?
Wait a minute, because this is how these fights start.
Well, then tell her to have some respect. Because
I have respect for you.
Come on, Miss Gray, you got to get on this thing.
By the way, I heard Henry dump all the coffee. What a moron!
Yeah, well, that was a good play right there.
Well, if I see, as a matter of fact, hold on for just a minute. I've got to get this thing going. I just saw somebody. I'm going to pull somebody over right now. Okay.
All right, there goes Mouth Siren Cop.
All right, let me get off this thing. Wait a minute, you're going to love this.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
How you doing, Phil?
Yeah, great. What, do I get a ticket?
Jack, you're damn right you're getting a ticket, because you look like an asshole to me.
That's because you heard me do this.
I heard you dump the coffee, telling everybody, here you go, Phil, there's your ticket. Thanks so very much for, you know, talking to me. Mouth Siren Cop,
thank me for letting you exist.
Say it again?
You ought to thank me for letting you exist.
Get a load of this guy, will you?
Phil, be a better loser than that. Be more gracious.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Why don't you buzz off? You're a loser. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. This is Mouth Siren Cop saying so long.
Boy,
Boy, that guy is weird.
Yeah, there's no question about it. He gives a ticket to the very guy that gives him life.
You know something? I just think because the man gives him life, it doesn't mean that he's his slave, you know? I think Phil should do what Phil ought to do. That reminds me of the character that he plays there on F is for Family. Who is it?
Colt Luger?
Yeah. Man's got to do what a man does.
No. It goes like this. A man's got to do what the man does.
Oh, you suck.
All right, wait a minute. Who sucks? Sheesh. I don't think either one of you guys even got close to nailing that. This is General Galen Shaw.
I'm Margaret Gray.
And Bud Dickman on a special 4th of July show, and I'm going to be right back.
Right after these messages. All right, go.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, he's real different.
General Galen Shaw here for the Backstage Pass. Don't forget to get a Backstage Pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, or you'll regret it for the rest of your life.
You can get a Backstage Pass, you get the archives, you get the daily podcast, you get the Friday night chat, you get the live show on Sunday night, you get all kinds of other things, all miscellany, all kinds of histories of Phil Hendry Show, all kinds of home movies and things like that, the TV pilot. I mean, it's all going on.
Get the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com.
Get it before it gets you.
Yes, the world-famous Phil... Get it before it gets you. I like that. I do, too. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
I'm Ralph Kauser here, and I'm the owner of Kauser Pontiac at 2116 South Lamont in the city of Goosen. You know, Kauser Pontiac has been around for a long, long time. In my mind, I only opened it up last week. But I don't think that matters. I think it counts that it existed in my mind between my ears from the time I was 5 years old until today, I'm 47. That's 42 years that Kauser Pontiac has been serving you mentally in my mind with great Pontiacs, great automotive service, and all of the great, great things that you've come to expect from, in my mind, I thought you came to expect it, from Kauser Pontiac. Kauser Pontiac has all the latest cars. They have all the latest styles, have all the latest fashions, not cars, but the clothes that people wear, including my salesmen. They wear bow ties and vests. You got a problem with that? You take it up with me. That's right, Kauser Pontiac. I made up the address. That's right, Kauser Pontiac. Come on in and see us, okay? We just opened our doors, but we're 42 years in the making. Between my ears, as I stared off in the classroom, looking at the sunset, looking at all the clouds, and the teacher said, little Bobby Kauser, there's trouble coming your way. We're going to have the sisters bring the car battery back in. Kauser Pontiac, for 42 years, in his mind, in his immutable mind.
Hi, Lonnie Dankin here with weather every morning at 6:15 on...
K-Fink, K-F-N-K, 1190 on your dial. Whose dial? Your dial.
Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show on a 4th of July show.
And I think we're going to go out now to Blue Hills in the Philadelphia, metropolitan Philadelphia area. We have John Jerryman with us, and John's going to sing for us. John, so good to have you with us. I have to turn the music down. We have a little bit of a party going here ourselves.
It sounds like it, Margaret. Well, we've got our annual party here at our senior center, and I'll be singing for many of the people. But I'm so grateful that you called.
Yes, and this is General Galen Shaw, John. A very, very pleasant 4th of July to you.
General Shaw, I appreciate that. Thank you. I would appreciate if you called me Mr. Jerryman, as long as you're using your formal title. If you did not use your formal title, then it would be okay to use John.
All right, I'm sorry, Mr. Jerryman.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
John, it is the 4th of July, and so we're wondering if you'll favor us with a patriotic number.
I am going to do that right now. Can you... You know that I've had the...
This is an ongoing problem with the woman.
Not this woman again.
She's a lady who's constantly trying to unzip my...
All right, John,
make sure he's under control there.
I'm under control. Make sure the lady in the front row there, Charlie.
I'll try. I don't know.
No try. Do it, if you don't mind. There's a wonderful song that I've enjoyed down through the years. Margaret and General Shaw. And it's a song called You're a Grand Old Flag.
Oh, I love this.
There's a feeling comes a-stealing, and it sets my brain a-reeling when I'm listening to the music of a military band. Any tune like Yankee Doodle simply sets me off my noodle. It's that patriotic something no one can understand.
I see you, Zipper.
I got the cap. Goddamn horn. That's what I'm talking about.
I can't have that live on the air.
John, you need to get her under control.
I'm trying.
You know, this is the third or fourth time we've had him on the air.
You know, if you can't do it, we can't have you on the air.
I understand. Ask me if I care.
Oh, God. If Mr. Hendry heard that, he wouldn't want you to be on the air.
If Mr. Hendry heard that, where is she? We got her tied in a closet right now. All right, they tell me she's tied up in a closet.
Can we edit out the whole thing about the zipper?
You're asking me?
No, I'm asking...
Yes, Bud?
Yeah, we'll be able to edit it out.
All right. There's a feeling comes a reeling.
I tell you what, just pick it up from where you...
Well, I meant the people are listening, for God's sake.
Yes, but she tends to re-attack if you start the song all over again.
Whatever that means, but I'll try. Well, I don't know where I was.
You're talking about, their pants.
I got pantsed?
No, it said, there's a tune called Yankee Doodle that sets me off my noodle. That's it.
Yeah, there it is.
All right, that's right. There's a tune like Yankee Doodle that sets me off my noodle. It's that patriotic something no one can understand. Away down south in the land of cotton, melody untiring, ain't that inspiring? Hurrah, hurrah, we'll join the jubilee, and that's going by some for the Yankees by gum, red, white, and blue. Oh, you're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever may peace you wave.
Yeah.
You're the symbol of the land I love, the home of the brave and the free. Every... One little... Ah! Didn't know about it. How'd she get out?
What's going on now?
She got out. I'm sorry.
Do you guys have handcuffs or a lock?
Who's that? That's the gentleman on the radio that I'm talking to.
Yeah, I think handcuffs is a good idea.
Yeah, have you got handcuffs, they're asking. Maybe, maybe not. It's my goddamn business.
We gotta watch the language.
Sorry.
You're the symbol of the land.
Yes, you're the symbol of the land I love, the home of the brave and the free. Every heart beats true under red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or brag. Should old acquaintance be forgot, keep your eye on the grand old sea zipper again. Ah! Yeah! Woo! I'll beat her to death if you don't get her out of here right now.
Oh, I'll get her a hustler in. This is ridiculous.
I don't know what's going on there. You should call the police.
Get the cops over here. I mean, we don't need that, do we? Get the cops over here. Got another old man I gotta deal with.
Hey, what's going on there anyway?
I don't know. The man that owns the retirement home we're in is here visiting today. He lords over us like a dictator or something.
How's everything today, Mr. German?
Everything today? I'm still getting felled up by that old lady. Gotta do something about it. And by the way, we're on the Phil Henry podcast all over America.
Isn't that wonderful? I'll see you in my office later.
That could mean I'm gonna get a car battery.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Look, John, I don't want your health or your safety being violated there.
Don't worry. I got an eye on it.
Goodbye.
I want her locked up. I don't care how. Where was I?
Well, you actually finished the song.
Where was I?
Okay, you're a grand old flag.
You're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and forever in peace you wave. You're the symbol of the land I love, the home of the brave and the free and the brave. Every heart beats blue for the red, white, and true. I mean, every heart beats blue for the red, true, and... Every heart beats blue.
Slow down.
Every heart beats blue for the blue tube to boo. Jesus.
Just keep going with it.
And it's never a boast or brag. Should old acquaintance be forgot, keep your flag on the grand old eye. I mean...
Keep your eye...
Yeah, that's it. Keep your eyes on the...
On a grand flag.
Keep your eye on the grand flag.
The grand old flag.
On the grand old flag. Oh, man. That was beautiful.
Get away from here or...
Well, I'm gonna kill it. They'll hustle him out of here.
Hey, they're hustling me out.
I'm calling the police.
No, it's all right.
Well, there he goes. John Jerryman, ladies and gentlemen, with You're a Grand Old Flag. You're a High-Flying Flag and all that other jazz.
Yeah, you know, that's a real song, right?
Yes, it's a real song.
Well, but that's not what I would call one of the traditional patriotic songs, is it?
Well, yes, it's a... What do you mean?
It's not like the Star-Spangled Banner. It's not like America Beautiful. It's not like God, you know... God Bless America or anything like that.
Well, no, it's not those songs. What's the point?
Well, who cares if he butchered it up? It's a song, in my understanding, Grand Old Flag, is from a play by George M. Cohan, and that's kind of a weird way of saying that name, ain't it? Isn't it usually Cohen?
There's two ways of pronouncing it. There's the Irish Cohan. There's the Cohen, which is more European.
You mean more Jewish?
Well, all right, more European Jewish, yes. And then there is Cohan or Cahane. And those are also sort of Mediterranean, but at the same time, Native American.
You talk about Native American.
That's my understanding. You never heard of Big Chief Cahane? You never heard of him?
No, I did not hear Big Chief Cahane.
I hope you better start learning about him. He kicked some serious cavalry ass back in the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, earlier...
Excuse me, I'm...
I... Well, earlier, ladies and gentlemen...
Yes, earlier, we had a cup of coffee spilled all over the equipment by Mr. Hendry... who is doing my voice. He's had to leave, and now he's in his car going home, and he got a ticket from Mouth Siren Cop, so he's a mess. But what we wanted to do today is bring on Bob Green, the owner of Fraser Foods. And Bob has been involved in quite a bit of political stuff lately. We thought we'd get him back on track. I don't know where he is.
Line three.
Now, Bob, I understand, of course, you have decidedly jumped into the political fray here in the United States. You're a big supporter of President Trump. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a big supporter. Don't worry about it. I'm a big supporter of President Trump. Doesn't mean I don't still own
don't own a department store.
I know I don't own a grocery store. What was the point?
Well, you're talking about putting people in work camps and political prisoners.
Well, that's down the road, but I'm still primarily running Fraser Foods. Yeah, is there a problem with that?
No, there's no problem. We wanted to go back to the days when you were really funny. And this was July 2nd of 2004, when you were protesting the fact that people with bad teeth were buying corn on the cob on the 4th of July. And we want to play this very special special track here on the 4th of July.
Oh, I see. So before I started...
Before you started with the Trump and all that stuff.
Uh-huh. What a couple of assholes, man.
Here is Bob Green from the 4th of July, 2004, and people with bad teeth should not eat corn on the cob.
And by the way, that's that's still a good idea to hold.
Yes, that's true.
Here is Phil and Bob Green from 2004. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
Hey, this is me coming up, huh?
Yes.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Bob Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods, and he's on with us this 4th of July weekend to talk about what's coming up. What are some of the popular barbecue foods people are buying? What's the popular picnic fare? And I guess today, Bob, is the day when people are really stocking up, because it sounds pretty busy.
It is busy, Phil. As a matter of fact, it's one of the busiest days of the year, and we're going to be, in fact, staying open a couple of hours later to accommodate everybody.
When you get busy, do you work the cash register, too?
Oh, yeah. I do. All of our managers do. We all man a register. We help bag groceries. It's one of the reasons why I like the grocery business. And, of course, when I'm on the register, it's a little bit different. A different experience, I guess, for the customer.
Why do you say that?
Well, I'm the manager of the store as well as the CEO of the company, so I'm able to kid with the customers about their food choices and have some fun.
Such as?
It's nothing significant. I like to kid around with the families that are shopping. I had a family come through the line yesterday. They had two cartloads, quite a grocery purchase, and we got some extra bagging help, and they had purchased, my goodness, probably about two dozen of our sweet corn on the cob because of the sale price that we have. And I was kidding with the father. I noticed that when he laughed, he would show his teeth, and he did not have, as many of us do not have, the most perfect teeth in the world. They were a little bit misaligned or crooked or overlapping, etc. And I remarked to him, kiddingly, I was being light about it. I said, are you sure you want to buy that corn? Because what happens, Phil, is you know some of these people who don't have straight teeth, the corn obviously gets caught in between their teeth. And
absolutely.
And the corn gets, and if you have ever sat at a table with people like this, it's not, I guess it's not the most pleasant experience, but it was no big deal.
So this man...
Wait, it wasn't just the man. There was a couple of his kids who had overbites and the front teeth were crooked. And everybody's different, Phil. It's an interesting world.
So you're kidding around with people that you shouldn't buy the corn on the cob because you're really going to have a problem with it getting stuck in your teeth. Man, I get that problem.
Well, a lot of people do, but I'm kidding. But if you've ever sat with people who have spaced or crooked teeth, I guess you could say we do, but we can pretty easily remove the... When you're eating corn on the cob, it's a difficult food to eat to begin with. If the good Lord saw fit to give you spaced or crooked teeth, teeth that should have been put in some braces, I guess, when you were kids, and you're eating corn on the cob, you're not... I suppose you're not giving people who are eating with you the most pleasant experience. It could be a little bit unnerving.
Are you saying this because of their...
Well, when they smile, they laugh.
Okay.
And you're being forced to look at it, their crooked teeth. But it can be unnerving. So I tell people that they might be better off with another choice.
Really? All right, so you're telling people when they're in line to buy the corn on the cob that what they can do is maybe go back... Get something else?
No, I'm not telling them anything. They have a right to buy whatever they want. But I guess what I'm saying, by the same token, I have a right to my opinion. I do express it, and I express it so that other people in line can hear it.
Plus, all right, now,
Let me ask you something, because I'm curious about this.
What I'm trying to say is I kid around with people.
No, I know, but do you say to people who are in line who have crooked teeth, how do you know they have crooked teeth?
Well, when you're talking to them, you don't.
All right. So you say to them, I'd rather you not buy the corn on the cob, and you're saying this loud enough for other people in the line to hear it? Right?
Yeah, and...
Are you trying to humiliate them?
No, you're getting the wrong idea.
Well, you say it loud enough so everyone in line can hear it. Don't buy the corn on the cob because of your crooked teeth.
Look, the only place that these people get humiliated is when they eat the corn at the family barbecue and they've got crooked teeth and they've got chunks of chewed corn stuck in... it's not something that I would choose to sit through. That's all I'm saying. And
all right, 1-800-449-8686, talking with Robert Green, who's the CEO of Fraser Foods. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about food choices for the holiday season. But I just want to stay on this for a minute, because I've never heard of anyone who manages a store, and I'm sure there's plenty of people in the grocery business, telling people, boy, you might not want to buy that because it's not pleasant watching you eat it.
I don't say that. I say that you have corn on the cob there. This man had... I don't want to harp on this, Phil.
No, I don't either. I'm just curious. So the people are in line.
If a guy comes through my line and he is buying 24 ears of corn on the cob, and he's got a family full of people there who've got teeth that are obviously, messed up looking, and... You're going to say to him, why do you want to make whoever you're going to be eating dinner with sit through the experience of looking at you with the corn wedged in your teeth? And I know it sounds funny.
Well, you're saying this in fun, but you're not the one sitting through it, so why would they have to hear your opinion about their crooked teeth and eating corn on the cob, I guess?
Well, it's my store.
All right.
I am personally, if you want to know my honest opinion, I am personally disgusted by people who have crooked, unaligned teeth eating corn on the cob so that it wedges in their teeth. And I've made a choice not to be a vehicle for that sort of thing. So if I can see that one of my customers has badly cared for teeth and they've had the gall to walk into my store and up to my register with two dozen ears of the Nebraska Swede or the California Yellow or whatever we've got, and they've got teeth like, 300 yards of broken, broken railroad tie. I don't mean to be glib. I'm going to try to tell our produce manager or one of the baggers to take it back. Because,
well, what difference does it make to you, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I am not going to be the vehicle, Mr. Henry. Look, Melanie and I went at a Labor Day party. My wife and I went to a Labor Day barbecue last summer, and there was a beautiful tray of sweet corn in the cob that had been barbecued in the husk, and they were passing it around. And I was sitting across from Jack Johansson, who runs our Portland office. He's a great guy, and his wife, Trudy, we vacation together. But he has teeth that are going in every direction, and they're very crooked. And I was raised Catholic. And I remember just saying a silent prayer. I said a silent Hail Mary that the corn tray just passed, that he not take, because he's right in front of me. And it's one of the many times, I don't want to get personal, but I guess you could say it's one of the many times that God's let me down, because... Sure enough, Jack took two ears of corn, and I said to him, and I said it as politely as I could, I would appreciate it if you not eat that in front of me, because it's going to disgust me.
You said that to him?
Yes, I did.
That it's going to disgust me because you have crooked teeth?
I never really say because you got crooked teeth. I will say to people, are you sure you're going to want to get that? And they say, sure, why? I said, because it's very difficult to eat. And then they'll say, well, okay, but why... Why are you saying? I said, well, it's going to be very difficult to eat, and I imagine you're eating with other people who are going to have to look at you, and they'll say, yeah. I never come right out and say, you've got crooked teeth. And, and here's a guy, Jack Johansson, who's got it. Oh, he looks like honest to God, he looks like one of these, hamster or a chipmunk with the teeth. So,
I find it really hard to imagine the manager of a grocery store, though, saying to people, are you sure you're going to want to eat that corn on the cob? I happen to have, you're not saying you got crooked teeth.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
You're just saying, are you sure you want it?
Yes, I'm saying, and I said I would appreciate it to Jack. I said, don't eat it in front of me. When you think of the fact that corn probably came from one of our Fraser food outlets, the corn that he'll be eating, I'm going to have to look at stuck in his teeth, and I know it came from one of my stores. And that's something that is personally as well as professionally painful.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So the recommendation, I guess, is if you are a person who doesn't have the best teeth, please don't eat corn on the cob this 4th of July.
Yeah, to make things more pleasant for other people.
To make it more pleasant for the people you're eating with. Here is Aaron on the Phil Henry Show. Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that if I was in this man's store and he said that to me, said something about me having crooked teeth, and it would be rude for me to eat corn in front of somebody else, I would throw the corn in his face and walk out of his store. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, then you would be guilty of a crime. You'd be guilty of a crime. I mean, you're going to assault me? I mean, all I'm saying to you, I'm suggesting that it's not pleasant to look at someone like you. And I don't know, do you have crooked teeth or...
No, I don't have crooked teeth.
But what are you worried about? I don't understand.
You're just rude. That's a very rude thing for a store manager, a CEO, to do. You're going to lose customers that way. It's ridiculous.
That's a good point. What about the customers that are not going to shop there anymore?
Well, Phil, look, if you're in my store to buy corn on the cob, and you've got teeth that are all jacked up, then no, I don't want you in my store.
You'll lose the business.
Why am I going to turn loose out into a 4th of July barbecue someone with jacked up teeth with corn wedged in it? That's my point that I'm trying to make.
You don't have to look at the person's teeth. You don't have to stare at them while they're eating.
No, that's true, but you've been at many 4th of July barbecues, and I don't even know why I'm still talking to this lady. She threatened to assault me.
Well, did you mean literally you'd throw the corn at him, Aaron?
I mean, that's what she's talking about.
Well, if he said something to me,
that's
like
against
that.
The law. If I say to you, Aaron, you got jacked up teeth, please don't buy my corn, and you throw it at me, I haven't committed a crime. You have.
Well, you've insulted this woman, though.
I have not insulted her. I'm suggesting that if you've got crooked, messed up teeth, and then you have the unmitigated gall to eat corn on the cob in front of people, and they're looking at you while you're going, hey, how you doing? You know, you're grinning at them. Do you think that's pleasant?
Yellow.
I guess she's gone, huh?
Yeah, she's probably. Oh, you know what? I put her on hold. Are you still there, Aaron? I'm sorry. I put you on hold by mistake.
No, I'm still here.
All right. Anyway, thank you for your call, okay?
Well, wait, I want to hear what she's got to say.
Well, she's gone.
Well, she doesn't have anything to say, see? So what you got there is someone who is going to assault me, throw corn at me, or whatever she said she was going to do, simply because I said to her, would you please not eat that in front of me?
You know, there's such a thing as fighting words. You've heard of that.
No, come on, Phil.
Well, I mean, maybe that's not it, but, you know, provoking someone like that.
I don't believe that I am, and I think you got a lot of listeners who understand what I'm saying. And there's a lot of store owners out there, too. You don't want to... I want to provide a pleasant experience for my customers. Someone that walks into my store, and he's got these, you know, what we used to call the goober teeth, or the Billy Bob teeth, and he's going to buy corn? No. No, that's not going to happen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. It's interesting how conversations will go. We started talking about picnic fare. Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, and he is suggesting this holiday season, if you do not have the greatest teeth, if you have an overbite, if you have space teeth, if you've got crooked teeth, that that you bypass eating corn on the cob because it's not a pleasant experience for people to look at you when you're talking. You've got teeth wedged. You got corn wedged in your teeth. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Whenever you think of someone with hair, think of me, Bob Green.
And this 4th of July is a special presentation of Bob Green from 2004 and the Corn on the Cob bit. This is Phil Henry with you. And don't forget to get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com, backstage pass subscription for a month or for a year, baby. Well, that's right. I'm not supposed to be here. I think it was the general and anyway.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
That's an interesting thing that you just told me. I'm talking to Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods. Now, you sometimes work the register on a very busy weekend. This 4th of July weekend, obviously, is one of the busiest, as you mentioned.
That is correct, yeah.
All right. When you see people with crooked teeth buying corn on the cob, you suggest that they buy something else because it is your determination.
Well, Phil, it's not my determination. Anybody with any experience in this world, when you look at someone
who's got the teeth on them, like I say, like the Bubba teeth or the jacked up teeth, or that 300 yards of broken railroad ties or whatever you want to call it kind of teeth, we all know that it is thoroughly disgusting to look at them eat corn on the cob.
Well, I don't know that we all know that, but I wanted you to tell the story you were telling me off the air.
Well, my Uncle David, who was a great influence on me and a terrific man, but my Uncle David had bad teeth. And when I say bad teeth, I don't mean they were cavity ridden or anything. They were very crooked. He had wisdom teeth that were not removed when he was a kid, so his front teeth sort of collapsed in on themselves and crossed each other almost like an X. His teeth were absolutely, without question, the most frightening set of teeth you've ever seen in your life. And we would have him over for holidays, summer holidays. He would eat corn on the cob. And I was anorexic as a child from the time I was 8 till the time I was 13, primarily because I didn't want to go near food as the result of looking at him eat this.
You're telling me as a little boy you were anorexic?
Between the ages of 8 and 13, yeah. When I looked at him and the way the corn would stick out, even as I think of it now, it's almost as if I want to get out of my skin. I want to go somewhere. I want to be someone else. That's what it does to a lot of people. You look at someone with these teeth that are destroyed. They're like bombed ruins. And then they have almost the arrogance to eat corn on the cob. It is something that can psychically damage a child.
Are you telling me that looking at your uncle who had crooked teeth eating corn on the cob damaged you somehow?
I believe it did, because it is a... Look, do you like bad breath? No, none of us do. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, I've smelled a lot of bad breath in my day. It hasn't psychically destroyed me.
When you're a child, I'm saying. When you're a child.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Melissa. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Green of Fraser Foods.
Okay, Mr. Green, you are totally out of control, and I'm surprised you can keep your store. Okay, I was anorexic.
I happen to be the CEO of the company, so...
I don't care what you are. You just be quiet and listen to what I have to say. You have the nerve to go up to people and to say what they can't eat.
I'm the CEO of the company, and if you don't know what that means, it means I'm the boss. And I do tell them that. You know what, Melissa, if you got bad teeth, I don't know what to tell you other than to go get braces, you know?
All right, here's Joy on the Phil Henry Show. Joy?
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I'm trying to control my laughter. You know, I hope you understand, sir, that if you are the CEO of your company, you really need to understand the laws of discrimination, because I understand you making the comment about the woman throwing corn to you. And if a woman throws corn to you and that's committing a crime towards you,
absolutely,
then it is also committing a crime telling someone they cannot buy something from your store.
I didn't say that.
So keep that in mind.
I didn't say that. I said I suggested
that they not buy it.
You need to
keep in mind as well
that
people that don't have...
Hold on, everybody. Hold on. Now, people are going to be heard one at a time, or else no one can hear what anybody is saying. What were you saying, Mr. Green?
I don't tell them they can't buy the corn. I suggest strenuously that if they buy the corn and eat it in front of people, it will damage certain young people.
Well, and what I'm trying to say as well, I understand your point with problem, but that is your problem. And you also need to keep in mind that if you have a problem with people with jacked up teeth, they may also have a problem with you being... a person that is not very good looking.
Well, they don't have to shop at my store, do they? They don't have to shop at my store, do they?
You are trying to do something in front of
those people. I can't have this phone conversation when people are talking over each other, right? I'm going to do it again. Now, what did you say, Bob?
I said they don't have to shop at my store.
And what is your response to that, Joy?
Well, my point is they don't have to shop in your store,
right?
But they will.
If they think I'm ugly.
So you have to deal with that.
Well, they're going to have to get out of my store then.
Well, and that's discrimination.
No, it isn't.
Well, why isn't it discrimination? If you weren't letting people buy corn on the cob because it's disgusting...
Well, what's wrong with that? Are you trying to tell me that I should allow people into my store who are barefoot or who otherwise violate the rules of the store? No. And by the same token, if someone walks into my store with these Billy Bob Gomer teeth and he wants to buy corn on the cob so that he's got a half a cob of corn wedged in his teeth, forget it. It's not going to happen.
Okay, so what I'm going to tell you, sir.
Look, have you got crooked teeth?
Have
you got crooked teeth?
Have
you got crooked teeth? Have you got crooked teeth?
No, sir, I don't have crooked teeth.
She doesn't have crooked teeth.
I do understand your point. I mean, I understand your point that you're disgusted by it.
No, I don't think you do, because my first experience with a woman, let's just say she had corn in her teeth.
I understand
you're laughing
with that.
Do you know what it's like to take a woman out?
I'm uncomfortable with things as well. I understand that. But
you're so understanding
that with you doing what you are doing, you are going to be sued eventually. I'm just letting you know that.
Well, you're not a lawyer, so
how do you know?
Well, she doesn't sound like a lawyer to me.
Letting you know that eventually it will happen.
It'll probably,
so as a CEO, you need to keep that in mind.
All right, Joy, thank you.
What you are doing.
1-800-449-8686.
Look, let me tell you something. Try going out on a date with a woman, your first date, and she smiles at you enjoying the evening, and she's got a big thing of corn wedged between her front teeth. You're telling me that won't affect you?
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, General Jameson. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Bud. And thank you all. 4th of July, world-famous Phil Henry Show. With the Bob Green corn on the cob bit. And of course, we had Mouth Siren today. We thank Mouth Siren. Thank you, John Jerryman. And thanks a lot, Phil, for dumping coffee all over the equipment.
World famous. You want me to do it?
I thought you went home.
No, I didn't go home. I've been in the back eating cottage cheese. World famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Yeah.